Welcome to Chronicles of a Medium. I'm your host, Maureen Hashi, psychic medium, intuitive healer. Join me for compelling conversations into true crime, mediumship, and everything in between. The King of Darkness Returns, Part 2. What sets this particular investigation apart from others is the level of demonic forces and fuckery. I should warn you, if you are at all sensitive, there is frightening content, and maybe you shouldn't listen. There was a high saturation level of evil at this location, based on the amount of horrendous acts of violence and the type of crimes that went on. Let me explain. You see, you have a few things going on. First, you have the murderer himself, his belief system, his state of mind, and his practices. Then you have the victim, the level of fear and pain, not to mention the torture they experienced during their passing. All of this energy can create an entity and draw in more of the same until it has a life force all its own. The difference between the two is this. Spirits generally have previously been human, so they've lived before. And an entity is created out of the evil acts and collective energy, and it needs human life force to feed off of. So it needs your energy to gain momentum. That's why some places are more haunted or feel darker than other places. And it will begin to affect the lives of the living who inhabit these areas. So if you live in a house that previously experienced murder or some other trauma, it's going to affect you on a very deep level. So you need to be mindful. Yes, you can get the houses at a discounted price, but can you survive the energy of the darkness? That's the other thing. There's also something really important to remember, and that is we, the living, have authority over the non-living. You can't be haunted, possessed, cursed, or messed with if you do not give permission. So now you're asking yourself, how did I give permission? I don't want this to happen. But keep in mind, you give permission through your fears, repetitive thoughts, the words you speak, and your actions. So stop giving your power away. Be mindful and pay attention, especially if you're messing around in the spirit world. Sometimes you open a portal and you don't realize you've opened it, but you have the responsibility to close it. Like when you're playing with a Ouija board, you have to properly start it and properly end it, meaning closing the door behind you. Otherwise, you just left the door open to all kinds of fuckery from the other world. And let me tell you, the energy that comes through those portals are not always good. You can get spirits that pretend to be other spirits and so on and so forth. That's a different topic. Anyway, so growing up, I have experienced a lot of spirit interactions. Spirit touching me is no big deal to me because it's happened so frequently. I watched my mother's witchcraft rituals, which is why I can speak from experience. And I watched her go through the things of projected energy from others, but never like this, ever. We all experience projected energy more than you actually realize. When you are in a connected relationship to another human, it can happen without you even knowing. That's why you go sometimes, oh, hey, I was just thinking of you, or I picked this up because I thought you'd like it. And the person is like, yeah, I was just craving that. So that's a perfect example of projected energy, really tuning into one another. and it can happen without you even knowing it. It can happen through the creative process too, like listening to a song. You are essentially tapping into the artist of that song, and depending on how sensitive you are, you can feel very deeply their creative expressions. The energy at this house was demonic. It was unsettling. I wanted to run away. I didn't want to be there at this point because I didn't remember signing up for demonic possession. But there was also a bigger part of me that was angry and even more concerned for the souls of the victims he had chained to him in the afterlife, but also for my team. I genuinely didn't want anyone to experience any of this fuckery beyond this point. I knew I had to stand my ground, not just for me, but for the victims he laid claim to. Throughout my career as a medium, I have prepared bodies for the morgue, cleaned up murder scenes, crossed over souls, seen the light of God, and now experienced the devil himself. Through my father's heavy hand as a preacher's kid, you'll learn very quickly how to keep things balanced and in the light. Making true of his promise to me, the man with the secret staircase continues to return. When I least expect him, there he is, telling his tales of grandeur, his acclaim to fame, as it were. After the investigation, I came home and I had my son put my smudge bundle outside the door, and it was very late. I stripped down on my front porch in the middle of the night, right down to my knickers, emptied out my suitcase, and smudged the fuck out of myself and everything I had with me. I might even have spun counterclockwise to get rid of the energy too. Next, I threw everything I had into the washer with some sage and lavender and rosemary. Fresh herbs, you betcha. And walked up to the shower to cleanse myself. As I walked into my bathroom, I left the lights off to enjoy the stillness of the moon and the comforts of my home. But something really felt off. As the water ran over me, I said a blessing. And then I began to smell that familiar smell of the scent of blood. I was mad, thinking it was still the energy from the investigation, and quickly got out of the shower. I'd had enough. I dried off and crawled into bed. I was completely exhausted, but still buzzing from the whirlwind of the last 72 hours. I literally went from 5 a.m. to little sleep, filming constantly, and then thrown on a plane and back to reality. All in the same context. Like, there was no sleeping. I was, you know, I feel bad for the people on the plane. I was in the middle seat, and I remember there was one point the spirits leaned in as I started to fall asleep because I was leaning forward, resting my head on the seat in front of me. And this spirit whispered in my ear, "Remember me, we're still with you." Well, I fucking bolted so far out of my seat, I scared the shit out of the two people beside me. Anyway, it made me laugh in hindsight. In the morning, things were still off. Like, very, very off. Something wasn't right. There in my bathtub was a large ring of blood, as though some trauma happened in my house when I was gone. So I texted my roommate at the time. After my conversation with her, I learned she had saved her monthly cycle and bathed in it, doing a ritual with the full moon. Well, I was saturated with the energy from the investigation, and I really wasn't myself. And as it seemed, I had a few tagalongs who were still speaking to me every chance they got. And I couldn't listen to any music. I couldn't have the TV on because they literally were using any means to communicate with me. So this was my breaking point. Needless to say, at the end of the day, that ended that relationship very quickly. Probably not my most shining moment, but nevertheless, that was my experience. It was around the same time I had pulled a gremlin off my poor pug. Now, if you followed me for a while, you've already seen the pictures I've posted with the gremlin in her eye. But if you haven't and you're new to my podcast, go on my Instagram account at marine_hashi, and you will scroll through till you see the face of the pug, and then look at all the pictures and you'll see the gremlin clear as day. The man with the secret staircase was true to his word. He made several appearances. He even attempted to take my life on a plane. But I'm going to save that story for another time because it's pretty trippy. Until next time, be well and stay safe in the spirit world. You never know who you're bringing through. You've been listening to Marine Hashi, Chronicles of a Medium. You can also find my website, marinehashi.com, marinehashi.com. Thank you.